The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It is Gil Alexander flying solo once again on this Friday. What we call around here Fezzik Fridays, at least in the last hour. Stevie Fezzik will join us. Everything on his mind. Usually it's Felica and Fezzik. Felica is still on his Alaskan cruise. So we had to come up with a guest that also had a last name that begins with the letter F for the alliteration. Tony Farmer stepping in for Chris Felica today. And looking forward to that because Tony not only does his Survivor podcast, but he also is I don't know how to characterize it. I want to say aspiring investigative reporter. Maybe he's an investigative reporter first and Survivor second. So at least one of the segments with Tony later, I got to just let him go on about some of the stories he's been obsessed with this summer. Diana Russini, Mike Vrabel, Kyle Shanahan, see what he's into these days. And Tony's doing big things with Survivor. And by big things, I mean he's all in. We'll get into that with Tony. Bill Connolly from ESPN is going to join us. He is the college football version of Aaron Schatz, is the best way I would put it. SP Plus is his college football stat that he is the creator of. We will talk college football with Bill Connolly later on the show. And then first hour, I skipped over the stuff that's coming early. Our own Tim Murray to talk college football with us, JVT, NFL, and college football. And in between our football, the global football, that is soccer, Paul Carr, who was kind enough to join us yesterday for season longs in the Prem. Today, his first three-pack of Premier League plays. Week number one in the Premier League. I know it's week zero college football, week one the NFL coming up, but week one of the Prem coming up with Paul Carr. So lots of guests, and I got to, Kelly, by the way, will be back on Monday. I think he's already back in town, Danny. Yes, back in town. He is somewhere in this land of ours, but we give him the final day off here. He'll be back on Monday. Looking forward to that. August wins update real quick. Phillies, not everybody played yesterday, so Phillies remain at the top, 13-5. Our Tigers remain well behind at 9-8, but you see the Padres, Cubs, and Rays, not to mention the Cardinals and Blue Jays now also knocking at the dough on the Phillies here for the August wins. If you have one of those teams, you are in business, so good luck to you on that. Tennis yesterday, we had one play. It was a large dog. It was on serve in the first. It was 3-4, 30 love. All was going well with Thiago Agustin Tirante, and then nothing after that. Just total, his serve just abandoned him, and it was all Artur Fils. One-way traffic, as we say in tennis, after that. So we do not get the win there. He gets beat pretty handily. Today, two, both on the ladies' side. Both on the ladies' side. Sarah Beliak, who took down Aryna Sabalenka, plus 191 versus Maddie Keys. All the tennis plays based on the numbers. That's what the show is called. All about the data. No way Sarah Beliak, should be this big of a dog against Maddie Keys. In fact, I think it should be way shorter than this. Plus 191 on Beliak versus Keys. And then Marta Kostyuk, speaking of dogs, this one not quite as large of an underdog. But Marta Kostyuk, plus 123 versus Coco. This is in the back half of the quarterfinals in Cincinnati on the way to the U.S. Open. NFL preseason again last night. First of all, one of the first of the Drew Dinsick fade the team that did better in joint practices worked out all right. Raiders looked like they weren't going to work out, but they come back in the second half. Houston dominates the first half. Maybe this was very predictable. Houston dominates the first half. Raiders dominate the second half, despite the presence of the great Owen Wright for the Houston Texans. And so the team that got dominated in the joint practice, the Raiders end up with cover. So that's the first of those. If you are curious then about the if you like that angle for week two of the preseason, I'm here for you because if that was enough to convince you, that's the way to go. Here's the other games this weekend where there is reports of one team sort of dominating joint practice, and therefore the theory goes they will let up at some point during the game itself that follows that joint practice. So the Vikings and the Ravens, the Vikings reportedly controlled the 2-minute periods in their sessions against the Ravens, capitalizing on late drives and red zone efficiency. That would mean a play on the Ravens in the Vikings-Ravens game tomorrow. Here's one. Giants-Dolphins tomorrow. The Giants pass rush, apparently, this is a quote here, the New York front wrecked the Miami offense, racking up at least six sacks and heavy pressure. This one sounds much more definitive than the Ravens-Vikings one. The New York front wrecked the Miami offense, racking up at least six sacks and heavy pressure in the joint practice. Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Chauncey Golston, logged three sacks, lived in the backfield, it says. Giants controlled the trenches completely, leaving the Dolphins' offense overmatched in team drills. So again, if you believe the fade the team that did well in the joint practice that precedes the game theory, that would be a play on the Dolphins in the Giants-Dolphins game preseason week number two tomorrow. Bears-Bengals kind of mixed reports, so I can't really count this one. Caleb Williams, they say, starred during red zone drills, tossed three impressive touchdown passes, including a standout deep seam connection to Colson Loveland. But it does say the Chicago's line struggled heavily against Cincinnati's front, so I'd actually throw that one out. So clearly the definitive one is the Dolphins, and then this one is the one, and I've talked about this earlier in the week as well, Patriots-Eagles. There was a clear favorite in the joint practice. The Patriots offense and quarterback Drake May performed very well against Philadelphia's defense. Meanwhile, the Patriots secondary dominated, picked off Eagle quarterbacks five times in their joint practice, including two by safety Craig Woodson. Five times. Quarterback Drake May and Patriots wideouts also played clean, efficient football, winning the situational and two-minute segments as well. So that would mean play on the Eagles if you buy into, again, these preseason joint practice theories. So the play-ons would be the Dolphins and the Eagles, who got dominated in their respective joint practices. As far as the three games that remain tonight, once again, just a reminder, three games. The Jets in Pittsburgh, that's the battle of the backup quarterbacks. Cade Klubnik, Bailey Zappe, Brady Cook. Big contest for the number two position with the Jets. Pittsburgh's going to see what they got out of Will Howard, Drew Aller, and Mason Rudolph for their number two. The Jets favored by 1.5, the total at 37.5 in that one. Carolina's at Jacksonville tonight. Bryce Young in the starting offense, expected to play multiple series for the second straight week under coach Dave Canales, after the majority of starters last week after they played really a couple of drives last week as well. Jacksonville, Liam Cohen, reversing course, said that Trevor Lawrence and others will get a couple drives potentially, unquote, against the Panthers tonight. Panthers also a 1.5-point road favorite there. And then the third of the three tonight, Green Bay at Denver. Jordan Love set to play for the second straight week. However, Coach Matt LaFleur has not detailed how long. Quote, you're just going to have to watch to find out, so I think it's pretty fluid, unquote. Love played only the opening series in week one, lost to Pittsburgh. Bo Nix going to make his preseason debut for the Broncos, returning from a fractured right ankle. Bo is going to play. Sean Payton said before last week's game, Bo won't play in this game. He'll play next week. Next week is here. Nix wants to play. He'll play the next 2 weeks. So Nix will play today and next week as well, rounding out the preseason behind new play caller Davis Webb. Sean Payton, at least for the time being, saying, here, you go ahead. You call the plays. Yesterday, we had our second annual NFL, our VSiN NFL Futures Draft. A good time was had by all. It was 11 of us from VSiN. Keyshawn Johnson, Super Bowl winning wideout, was part of this as well, as was friend of show. He's been on the show many times through the years. One of our favorite guests, Nick Bakay. Nick Bakay, for our purposes, sports betting-wise, his biggest fame in the sports betting world, way before ESPN would ever acknowledge sports betting. Now it's a whole new world, but back in the day when it was verboten, early 2000s, Nick would do great segments, these comedy segments where he would talk about bad beats in his own way, advantage push. And Nick and I were texting during the day yesterday, and he texted, he said, is Barry Word still active? And how do you feel about over 4.5 touchdowns? Which is fantastic, obscure running back humor. But here are the plays I ended up with. I don't do that. This is sort of akin to, hey, no one wants to hear about anybody else's fantasy draft, but I'm going to make a point here about this. These are my picks. I started out, I had the fourth pick in the draft. I ended up going with Caleb Williams, passing yards leader at 10-1. We were held to five categories: stat leader, a player prop, over, under on team totals, and a division winner. So to me, and by the way, then afterwards, I believe it was Luke who did this. If it was somebody else, forgive me, but it was Luke. Yeah, Luke did an AI review of all of our drafts, who had the best draft, who had the worst draft. I believe it said that Tim Murray had the best draft, if I'm not mistaken. I ended up, according to Claude, I ended up with the 8th out of 13. Now, here's the review of my draft. Gil doubled up on Caleb Williams, passing leader 20-1. And over 3,625.5 yards, which is a correlated bet rather than diversification. Good if Williams pops, ugly if he doesn't. Well, you listen here, Claude, that is your real name. And this is the point I really want to make about this, because I'm very happy with all my plays. I don't think Claude gets it, just between you and me. So this is sort of a billboard for, if you think AI gets sports betting better than a human being does, or at least a contest strategy, it doesn't. Because really, to me, there was only two strategies in a draft like this where you only have 10 plays and you're held to those categories, two picks each in those categories. For me, because over-unders, we couldn't do alts, and player props, you kind of had to stick to the over-unders. You couldn't do alts there either. You only had four opportunities then, division winner and more specifically stat leaders, to really take shots. And the only two strategies in this draft, to me, were to take those four opportunities to take bombs, which I tried to do. Division winners, not really bombs, but as long shots as you could possibly take at the moment. And the other strategy, actually, correlation. Because you don't care if you finish second here or 13th. You're trying to win the game. And so correlation and bombs are the only two correct strategies. You got that, Claude? JVT, Tim Murray, Paul Carr, all coming up. It's a numbers game right here at Visa.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Week zero of college football is almost here. JVT has a few plays for us here coming up. And with the NFL regular season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets beating the book. LFC title records. Is this supposed to say Gil Alexander? Apparently my tennis plays at VSiN.com/picks are under the name Eric Cohen. Danny, who's Eric Cohen? Is that a made-up name? Is that somebody? Okay. Somehow we've inflated the Zach's last name and the name Eric, and those are my tennis picks, so let's change that. Sarah Beliak and Marta Kostyuk. On the VSiN.com/picks page for subscribers. This is from, let's see, I'm going to 10 o'clock. Well, after a long hiatus, it was lovely to check in with you, Gil, in the lead up to start of the NFL. And wow, you didn't disappoint. Awesome show, Will Hill. Free code for Warren's book and insights, a chat with crack EPL tips. I've missed you, mate. You too, 10 o'clock. Thanks for coming back for football season. I think a lot of people probably do that, right? They're football only folks. Cato, let's see, who we got here? Let's see. Oh, 3JackH3131. No tennis today? No, they're under Eric Cohen, whoever that is. Let's see. Cody, hey, Gil, what are the chances you can get alleged non-Dodgers fan Mr. Claw Machine on to talk about the Mark Walter situation? I know he has some juicy takes. Also would love to hear his PCA versus Otani MVP thoughts. You are referring to Jason Weingarten, and you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to reach out to Jason, see if he wants to come on and talk about those subjects. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the co-host of Money Moves, which follows this show each and every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. He does it with the lovely Stormy Bonatoni. It's the equally lovely Jonathan Von Tobel, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. Look at this dude. He's svelte. What's happening, John? How you doing, man?
Nothing much. Had a fun time yesterday in the Futures Yes. Draft that we participated in. Always good to give Dustin Sweetelson a bunch of crap. And rumor has it that John Hansen is still trying to make a selection at this point.
John Hansen had the most. I was gonna ignore that in the opener, but he did have a little trouble with this, didn't he? He had a little trouble. We got through it though.
And I don't know if you know me, Gil, but I'm not one to sense weakness and not let that go. I mean, come on, now we got to give him a little crap for it.
You are the animal in the wild that senses it and pounces. I know. Yeah. Well. John got through it. We got through it in 2 hours, by the way. Well done by Dustin, shepherding it along. All right, let's talk NFL preseason. You have one preseason play for us this weekend.
Yeah, so far just the one. This has kind of been my theme. I haven't played a lot of preseason stuff, but I've tried to kind of push against the grain of some of these line moves. This is one I just kind of don't understand. Last week, Sean Payton told us what the plan was for the starters.
Yeah.
And we saw this line open at like 3.5. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. It's similar to the Bengals game last week, right? Gil, we talked about that last week, which was, hey, I thought the opener of Bengals -3.5 included Joe Burrow and the starters playing, but the market was like, that's not enough. And then pushed it up to 6.5. By the way, the Green Bay Packers are playing their starters, right? I mean, that's part of the report. Yeah. LaFleur said that.
That's correct.
And yet the market's like, nah, 6. Like, we're going to stay here, 6.5. So, I disagree. I think, again, all the market had the information baked into it. And it's so weird how the market kind of selectively decides when it wants to respect the preseason information and when it doesn't. I'll take 6.5 for the Green Bay Packers. Again, just pushing against the information for the game. It all gets wild afterwards. I'm not going to pretend to be able to handicap what's going to happen in the third or fourth quarters. To me, it's just a play on the number that I think the market is overvaluing some of the information that's out there and not valuing enough some of the other stuff.
We noticed this. This is of all the things. I mean, there's so many things that changed after PASPA was ruled unconstitutional. But with the proliferation of legalized betting, as far back as like primetime action, when we were doing the South Point, I distinctly remember Matt Brown over and over, week after week, like, we knew this information for 3 days. Why is this moving now? Right. Yeah. That kind of thing that you're just referring to. And I do think part of that is you, me, everybody that is immersed in sports betting. We're so close to the sun. Like, sometimes we forget most people are just so casual and they're like, wait, what?
Sure.
Bo Nix is playing. Oh, my God. I got to bet him. Broncos favored by 6. All right. To college football.
Makes sense.
Yeah, week zero, college football. North Carolina and TCU. Horned Frogs favored by 7.5. How are you playing this?
So I'm going to take North Carolina. It's funny. I think it's just me and Bill Belichick who are rooting for the Tar Heels against TCU in Ireland. But I'll say this to the point of information to an extent. We get the news, and you and I were talking about this in the studio yesterday, that TCU has to dismiss the Louisiana Tech transfer that was slated to start at safety for them, Jacob Fields. And that it sounds like, according to some reports, that his actions, we'll say, have affected the potential status of a starting wide receiver for them as well. We'll see if that actually happens here. But I was already looking at North Carolina in general. Look, this is a weird game. College kids making a long trip out to Ireland. We have seen odd results in these college games out there across the pond multiple times. And I think one of the underrated aspects of what this North Carolina team did last year was they were an adequate, we'll call them, defensive group, right? Yards per drop back in which they gave up last year, they were floating around like the 90th percentile. Pass expected points added per play, they were in the 75th. Non-explosive EPA per play, they were around 60th. Like, they were a decent defensive team. And stop me if you've heard this before, Gil. I think Bill Belichick can coach defense still. Yeah. You know, this whole thing might kind of be a nightmare. But I do think that we're kind of getting to the point where we're refusing to see some of the positives with North Carolina. And down the stretch of the season last year, they were covering numbers because they were just dragging opponents down defensively and really forcing them into the muck and forcing a lot of low scoring tight games. And I think that you can get something similar here. I trust Belichick on defense. I don't think that's a really hot take. And I think they're going to be able to stay inside of this number in a weird setting. So give me North Carolina +7.5. Factor in TCU with the two potential starters out. We know one of them's out because he got dismissed from the team. And breaking in a new offense against Belichick's defense. I'll take my chances in a weird setting like this +7.5.
Despite the absence of Michael Lombardi, JVT going with the Heels +7.5. Let me just ask you this in this scenario because I'm curious. If North Carolina starts to fall behind in this game, and let's say it becomes like 2 touchdowns, like at what point does your brain immediately toggle to, oh, good Lord, this is going to be a disaster? Will it get there?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably it, right? Because I don't know if they're capable offensively of digging out of holes. You know, they named, I think it was Billy Edwards Jr., the starting quarterback the other day. But I'll say this too. Look, Bobby Petrino is the offensive coordinator, and Petrino's done a pretty good job as a play caller. And I think that they're going to be more capable than we expect. I think there's also a reason why they named Edwards, because they just want like the veteran guy to give him some sort of presence. He's familiar with the offense too, so there's some sort of like floor, you would think, that's kind of baked into that system. So I think overall, I'm with you. Like, I want this to be ugly. I want this to be like a 3-point game. I want this to be like 3-0 the entire way. I think being under the total is the way I want this thing to go. If it starts to expand out, I don't know if I'm going to be in a pretty good spot here. So I am hoping for something low scoring for sure.
All right. Your UNLV Rebels, I think I can call them your UNLV Rebels, at home. Well, let's call it Allegiant Stadium home for this week. Yeah. 6-point favorites against Memphis. And you are very objective here. You're going with Memphis in the points.
Yeah, 6.5. There's a couple of 6.5 still out there. I think UNLV is being a little overvalued in the betting market and a lot. I mean, a lot of people do expect big things from this UNLV team, and I can understand it to an extent, right? They could be a playoff team, one of the groups, they're the group of six representative. But I think there's a little more flaws with this team defensively. I think that when you look at the quarterback play right off the bat against Memphis, I'm going to be curious to see Jackson Arnold and in his start here against UNLV. I'm assuming that he's going to start, I think. And even if he doesn't, if it's like an orgy package, the majority of the snaps at quarterback are going to go to the Auburn/Oklahoma transfer at quarterback. But I think that watching this team a little bit up close and seeing the way that they've played, I just think that the betting market has these expectations that probably shouldn't be there for UNLV. And keep in mind, Gil, this is kind of a CFP eliminator. Memphis can win its conference, and it can be a group of six. This is a high leverage game, for both teams. And let's say this too. A lot of people out here want Allegiant to be packed and have a lot of people out there. They don't have a true home field advantage. So if you're over factoring that in for UNLV too, I think you just get a little too far. I thought there should be four as opposed to six. So we're going to go with 6.5 with Memphis. There's plenty of those out there.
Yeah, it's a strange environment, but you're so right about college football. Like that's a sneaky big game. It has implications. Yeah. Our buddy Dr. Bob has been harmed by Jacksonville State through the years. Jacksonville State Gamecocks, North Dakota State Bison at the Fargo Dome with the Bison favored by 7. You have a play in this.
Yeah, so this is a theory on, I don't really think that this North Dakota State team is as good as the betting market thinks they are either. You know, they make this transition, they're in the Mountain West now, and they get thrust into the status of potential favorite to win this league. They've slipped a little bit in the odds. The betting market's kind of corrected itself a bit. But I think that they're coming in, Bill. They decided to go with the internal route, internal promotion, bringing in a lot of freshmen in the recruiting class. They only brought in 3 Power 4 transfers, one of which is a punter. They didn't really go the route that a lot of people did. And so I think that the expectation for North Dakota State, who very much dominated its previous conference, is maybe that's going to continue. But I just think we're a little too high here. So I'll take the full touchdown. I think that it's probably going to come off that, maybe get to 6.5 by the time we get to the game time itself. But this is not so much pro Jacksonville State as it is anti-North Dakota State and the market's perception of that team, and I'm getting that 7, so we'll go with the Gamecocks here.
All right, final question. You are an Indianapolis Colts fan. What is the finishing 1-2-3-4 in the AFC South this year?
1-2-3-4, I'll go with Texans, Jags, Titans, Colts.
Oh, last. Wow.
To be fair, I think it's kind of like an NFC North situation where like 7 wins could get you last, and that's somewhat of a respectable season. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I wasn't expecting the Titans above them, but okay. Not good. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. Again, 1 p.m. Eastern. Excuse me. Pardon me. I got that wrong. 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific for Money Moves Monday through Friday, including today. Thank you, JBT. Appreciate it.
See you, bud.
Coming back, Paul Carr on the prem. He's got a 3-pack of plays. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget about JustWinBetsBaby.com. Proven track record, futures and long shot winners, picks in English and Spanish. That's right, bilingual picks. A weekly live podcast, mathematical models and custom AI to find value across major sports. JustWinBetsBaby.com. Scan the QR code on your screen for more. We get tweets beating the book. This is from Shrek McPhee. Eagle plus 140 to win the Cincy tournament seems good in my opinion. Bagula looked hurt yesterday. Wouldn't be shocked if she retires, withdraws prior to the semi tomorrow. Eagle got through when Elena Rybakina got hurt yesterday in the first set. Eagle was up 4-1. Iga's a truck right now. I do not disagree at all with that take. And speaking of tennis, we have big breaking news for the United States Open. And if you can race to whatever book you can right now, if they are slow on this, Jannik Sinner announcing that he is not going to play in the U.S. Open. Carlos Alcaraz already previously announcing that he will play in the U.S. Open. So if you have a book or a skin that is slow to take down, and I just found one that was, race, and I would bet Alcaraz as quickly as possible. I got a plus 175 on Carlitos, and I could see Sinner was still up on the board. So run as fast as you can. This is from, Tim Bowers, after Paul Carr's info on Hull City being super bad, I wonder how likely the two matches of Arsenal versus Hull City, that one of his 3-pack bets will be Arsenal win to nil this season. Oh, I'm sure when that happens, he absolutely will. No Emu Doug, Gil versus the Machine. Oh, yeah, talking about Claude earlier. saying that I had a poor draft because I wasn't diversified enough. No, Claude, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's the opposite of what you're supposed to do. He said, who will dominate? Whose English will be succinct and correct? Who will add the proper pronunciation? Yes, we'll battle it out on that as well. Shout out to Yannick Sinner for announcing it himself. By the way, Willie B. Benton said, shout out to Yannick for tweeting his breaking news himself, and shout out to the guy in my Discord who shared a tweet within 1 minute of it being posted. I got Carlos at plus 225. Oh, you were quicker than I was. Plus 225 for Willie B. Benton. I got plus 175 on Carlos. I would imagine Carlos goes down to short plus money probably by the end of this show. That is my guess. Derby Day Day. Let's see. Oh, futures draft should have more rules next year. But seriously, why not allow whatever wager category, including alts and score winner by round, confidence rating, times odds of pick? Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's a it was confined very much to certain rules. So the elimination of the alt plays threw us off a little bit. That's for sure. Mike at Mikey Drama 21. Did JVT say? Oh, I was going to touch on this too, man. You caught it as I did. Did JVT say orgy package? I Googled it. Now I'm going down a bad rabbit hole. Yeah, don't Google that. Don't Google that. It's a bad Google. But yes, he did. I believe he did refer to a scheme, if you will, in football as an orgy package. Speaking of Paul Carr, and he was kind enough to join us for two segments yesterday doing Premier League season longs. He had top of the Premier League, bottom of the Premier League, who's likely to get relegated, had a bet on that. Top half, bottom half, top four, we did it all. Golden boot. Paul Carr joins us now for his weekly segment where he gives us a three-pack of plays in the Premier League. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Carr. He is the czar of True Media Networks. I believe that's his title. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I'm just glad you didn't use orgy package as your segue to get from JVT to me. So thank you for that.
That's right. Didn't do that. By the way, best line of the draft yesterday was Nick Bakay. And someone actually tweeted in about this, so forgive me, whoever, I'm stealing your tweet here, but you reminded me of this. Nick Bakay said that he had named one of his fantasy football teams Matt Humans as a colon, as a tribute to Matt Humans' fast food rankings. Matt Humans' colon. Excellent fantasy football name. Thank you for all the plays yesterday, Paul. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. You feel good about all of them?
I think so. I mean, I mentioned Man City title. I've seen Man City at plus 400 on DraftKings today. So if you're interested, again, that's getting pretty high up there. I played it at plus 350 originally and was pretty happy with that. So it's still drifting a little bit.
Still drifting. Okay. A lot of response to the Hull City one. I know Kelly jumped on Hull City. We got a text from him. He's jumping on them as the last place team. Again, you believe they could flirt with the all-time low record of 11 points when all is said
and done. It's in play for the first time, I think, in a while. We've had several, you know, again, like Wolves last year kind of made a run at it, but they were never really that bad. I think this Hull City team might be that bad.
All right, speaking of Hull City, let us begin tomorrow. Man U at Hull City. What do you got?
Yeah, no games have been played, obviously, so we're just kind of going on our priors for the preseason. So let the fading of Hull City begin. I will take Manchester United, lay the goal and a half, plus 110 I got. Again, Hull City, their underlying numbers had them as the second worst team in the championship last year, which is the second division in England. But somehow they finished sixth and made it through the playoffs. And while they've signed a bunch of guys, none of them look like major impact guys or necessarily even kind of, you know, solid Premier League type of players. So maybe they'll prove us all wrong and, you know, hang around or at least flirt with staying up or something. But until we see something like that, I'm going to take Manchester United, who projects as the, you know, a clear top five team in England, plenty of good players. Michael Carrick is their manager, so I have questions about them for the season. He came on mid-year last year and ran pretty hot, got good results. I don't know how good a manager he is, but the talent gap is just so wide here that I will lay the goal and a half with Manchester United at plus 110.
Laying the goal and a half, Man U, plus 110 at Hull City. You mentioned something there at the beginning, just a handicapping question. Mm-hmm. You said we have to go off the priors right here. When I've had Dr. Bob on through the years, Aaron Schatz, and I'm not suggesting you model to the same depth as those guys, but I was, you know, they had a definitive answer when I would ask them, when do your priors slough off and to what percentage do they slough off? And they had a very mathematical answer. Oh, after 4 weeks, this percentage goes away and its current, mm-hmm. you know, actual performance on the field this season, then this much more percentage goes away. By this week, priors are completely gone. For you, just when you're doing Premier League, what's the week? Or is this subjective? Is this an eye test thing?
Yeah.
Where the priors just, hey, man, they got to go away. I got to see what I'm seeing right now, and I got to go off that.
Yeah, I guess it tends to be in the 3 to 5 game range where, so I use expected goals a lot, which is basically, you know, shot creation, the kind of chances you're creating and so on, which are more predictive than shots or goals are. And it solidifies faster than you think, like 3 to 5 games. And you, from a team perspective, you can get a pretty decent sense. The X factor there is who are they playing? You know, if you have very low expected goals numbers or goal difference, but you play good teams, you have to factor that in a little bit. But 3 to 5 games in that range, and I'm not saying I would discard the priors completely after that, but you get a pretty good sense of, so basically a month of Premier League play, and you're looking at some numbers that can be helpful.
All right, so Man U, pardon me, minus a goal and a half, plus 110 at Hull City. Also tomorrow, Brentford and Tottenham.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of taking the better team, so which is basically what I've done with all my picks here today. But this one is maybe not as clear-cut. Tottenham generally projected a little bit higher than Brentford in the Premier League standings, but Tottenham finished 17th last year, and they weren't a whole lot better than that, to be honest. Now, they've signed a whole bunch of defenders, a whole bunch of midfielders. I'm still not totally sure where Tottenham's goals are going to come from or that all these pieces will have come together with game one. So there's a realistic chance, of course, Tottenham is better than Brentford over the course of the season. But for match one, I have a lot more faith in Brentford. They are your classic kind of mid-table type of team, a little bit better, analytics darling. You know, they've signed 3 or 4 guys that are so Brentford in that they're a little bit known, but not too much. And you figure they can just plug these guys in and keep moving along. So I like Brentford at home to win this one at plus 145 over a Tottenham team that I don't think will be clicking yet.
All right, another dog on Sunday in the Brighton-Aston Villa game.
Yeah, this is another, I think I'm taking the better team, even though the market and public may not quite think so. Aston Villa finished 4th last year, but they ran super hot, and they have some question marks about their lineup for this game. Is Ollie Watkins, who's their star forward, going to play? He's kind of requesting a transfer, but is still on the team. So that's always a big question mark there. Brighton is, again, like Brentford, mid-table, analytics darling. They were 8th last season. Underlying numbers were a little bit better. They were quite a bit better than Villa on the whole. They made some good defensive signings to kind of shore that up a little bit. They have questions, too, about striker. Does Brighton, but I just have more faith in Brighton at this point, especially playing at home on the opening day of the season. So getting plus money on a home win, I like that here with Brighton.
All right, Man U giving up the goal and a half, plus 110 at Hull City on Saturday. Also Brentford plus 145 versus Tottenham on Saturday, and Brighton plus 120 versus Aston Villa on Sunday. Paul Carr's Premier League three pack here in this new Premier League season. Before you go, I just asked JVT, I'm doing this with all my guests this hour. He's a Colts fan. I asked him to go 1-2-3-4 in the AFC South. He had his Colts 4th and last. You're a Dolphins fan. What's your 1-2-3-4 finish in the AFC East?
Bills, Patriots, with my blind teal colored glasses on, Dolphins and Jets.
Wow. Okay. Dolphins 3 over the Jets. I was hoping for
That's definitely more with my heart than my head.
Okay. We have Tim Murray. He's a Washington Commandos fan. Next, I was hoping for the fo-fo-fo, as Moses Malone used to say, but we got a 3. Yeah. We got a 3 from you on the Dolphins.
If my head is picking, I would put the Dolphins 4th, but if I can't be optimistic now, when can I be optimistic? They're getting 3rd. Let's go.
Let's go. 3rd, baby.
3rd place. Here we go.
Thank you, Paul, for yesterday and today. Yep. Appreciate it, man. Paul Carr, everybody. Tim Murray, college football, next on A Numbers Game right here. Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. Big news of the morning so far here. In the first 30 minutes was Jannik Sinner announcing that he is not going to play in the U.S. Open. Carlos Alcaraz, pick your poison between those two, who you think is the best player in the world, but it's one of those two guys head and shoulders above everybody else. Carlos already announcing that he will play despite, or I should say, coming back from his wrist injury, and I've seen footage. He looks really good. But Jannik Sinner saying, yeah, done. The knee injury is too much. the actual statement, even though I've been working hard with my team and my medical staff, we have now had to make the difficult decision that I will not be able to compete at the U.S. Open this year. We've been back on court in Monte Carlo over the last couple of days and have realized that I still need more time to recover from my right knee issue. I'm obviously very sad and disappointed, as New York has a special place in my heart. I was very much looking forward to coming back and playing in the electric atmosphere in front of the great fans there. And so, because, you know, look, shout out to, or I should say, feel bad for Jannik Sinner. Hope he gets better fast. Our job in our little corner of the world in sports betting is, hey, we like money. So the race was on. I don't care even if you don't like tennis. It's your duty to go see what you can get. There's still, you know, and some books just are asleep at the wheel. We have one here in town. Danny was saying, and Kelly would have had this going if he were here. Boomer's still hanging a plus 220 on Carlos, I believe. So there you go. There's the one book in town that's low. Like I said, I got a plus 175. Most people are reporting now Carlos, let's see, Juan Degen, Carlos plus 140 at BetUS. Let's see, Scrabble Star, thanks, Gil, took Carlito at plus 225 also. Not a big bet, though. Have you considered the rust factor? Absolutely, he could be rusty, but you just got to make the numbers play at that point. You're already way ahead of the game at plus 225. Jason Stark grabbed Carlitos at plus 140. Think that's good, or should I cash it out? What would be your break point for taking? Thanks. Only have three books available in Connecticut, and it was down at 2 of 3. So the scramble begins. Noemi Doug loaded up on Carlos at plus 160. Excellent chance. You just covered by subscription and some other stuff. So I got Carlos on the men's side now, and of course already Iga on the ladies' side at 7-1. By the way, I still think Iga's playable at plus 550. Tim Murray joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the host of VSiN Primetime, also the host of the College Football Betting Podcast, known worldwide for its prowess. He's also the guy that Claude said in our futures draft review, NFL futures draft review, said had the best draft of anybody. Tim Murray joins us now. How you doing?
Why play the season, Gil? If Claude's going to tell us I'm the winner,
it's over.
I'm the winner. Game over.
It's over.
You know, just like Pete Sampras at the U.S. Open many years ago, right?
Yeah.
Dropping tennis knowledge on you right now.
Well done.
What was that, 02? 02, him and Agassi? Throwback, baby.
Oh, I mean, there were so many years with those two guys. Sampras was unbelievable. 14 slams, man. Come on. But you knew that. You knew that already.
I did know that. And 7 Wimbledons. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. And Tim was the snake guy too. You had the last pick in the round, right?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well done. You happy with your draft?
I'll say this. I don't know how deep you want to go into this. I did. There were a lot of rules that people did not enjoy. The one that I liked was the resetting of the picks in round 6, because I technically had like the first pick of the second half of the draft, if you will.
Oh,
so it was
right.
Nice to
That's right.
have like an opportunity there. So I did enjoy that rule. I'll say that.
Okay. I think that's deep enough.
Yeah.
Tim,
yeah.
I don't know if we always know you as a Notre Dame guy, but are you at this point basically a University of Hawaii fan?
Of course. Yeah, man. We're all in, you know, hold on.
There it
Our
is.
Team. There it is. It's been a really cool run here the past few years with our relationship with Hawaii. And, you know, we're going back out there this upcoming week. Does sound like the tropical storm, thankfully, is headed south of the islands, which is great. But, yeah, I mean, it all started with Timmy Chang, the head coach out there. We got to meet him when Mountain West Media Days were at Circa a couple years ago and kind of started a relationship. We've got a couple really good sponsors. Steve Bookatz, Nahoku has been part of this network for a couple of years, Rainbow Authentics. And yeah, it's kind of crazy how things have come together here, Gil. And now we're going to be out there getting ready for the season. And then we'll fly back to the mainland. And me and humans will hop on a plane on Saturday, next Saturday, to go out to Stanford to catch Hawaii and Stanford. But it's been really cool. The embrace for the folks out in the islands and, yeah, our new team. Yeah, Notre Dame and Hawaii. I might be the only person in the world. Those are my two teams.
Yeah, here it is live from Hawaii for week 0 of college football, special editions of VSiN Primetime, Wednesday, August 26th, and then a live taping, do we say taping these days, of the College Football Betting Podcast, Thursday, August 27th. And that's all presented, by the way, by Rainbow Authentics. You may see Tim in all their gear all the time. And then, as they pointed out, then you're going to the Yay, to the Bay Area, to watch the game between Stanford and Hawaii. Don't want to sleep on that. Right, I think later in the year when like Auburn plays Alabama, I think you guys are going to Hawaii again. We're just going to keep sending you to Hawaii for just random reasons.
Who needs, you know, Ole Miss and and LSU of September 19th when you've got Hawaii and UNLV week one, baby.
That's right. Just set them Hawaii randomly. Do you have a play in that Hawaii-Stanford game?
I do, yeah. I played under 49.5. I think there's still some 49.5s out there. This is a game last year, Gil, 23-20 final score. Hawaii gets the game-winning field goal from the legend, Kansei Matsuzawa, the Tokyo Toe. And, yeah, I think this is similar. You know, Hawaii unfortunately got some news out of camp. Hafele Ashlock, their leading receiver coming back, is not going to be playing in this game. I do, you know, think this offense has some upside with Micah Alejado returning there. And it's a unique system, you know, started by June Jones, the run and shoot. And now Timmy Chang has brought it back to Hawaii here. But I think year one of Tavita Pritchard out there in the Bay for Stanford, I think they're going to lean into their strengths, Gil. And for this particular game, I think it's going to be a bit of a grinder. It's kind of what we saw a year ago out on the island. So I do think this is a lower scoring game, kind of a, you know, where Stanford leans into their big fellas up front. So under 49.5 was a play for me. I think DraftKings and a handful of other shops still have 49.5 out there. Don't really have a strong feel on the side. The market has really whacked Stanford here. Open 3, hit 6 at some spots. So no feel, real strong feel on the side, but I do think it's a lower scoring game next Saturday night.
This will bring your fandom all together here. Didn't Tavita Pritchard leave the Commanders like in the middle of the week to go to Stanford? He's like, I'm out of here. I got to get the hell out of this place.
It was the quarterback's coach or assistant quarterback's coach, something like that. But yeah. When Andrew Luck comes a calling, you leave midseason, baby, to go out to your alma mater.
Let me see. Stay with this franchise or go to the Bay. Yeah. Okay. What about your Irish? Where do they end up this year in from your perspective?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I spent a decent amount of time on the podcast a week or so ago saying, all right, if you like Notre Dame, what do you do with them, right? Because the price is just not great, let's be honest. You know, they're going to be massive favorites in pretty much every game. You look at the game of the year market, Gil, BYU, double-digit favorite, Miami, around a touchdown favorite. You know, even that game at North Carolina, like 24-point favorite. So, you know, you're paying a massive tax on this Notre Dame team, and you can see with the graphic for those of you watching with us, win total is 11.5. So yeah, lay, you know, $1.90, $2 to the under if you think they're going to lose a game. I think if you were to make a futures bet, if you said you had to make a futures bet today on Notre Dame, I think around +135, +140 was the price for them to reach the semifinals. So you're looking at a situation, if they were to go 12-0, they would more than likely get a bye in the first round. So you would need, you know, one win there in the quarterfinal round where they would more than likely be a favorite or maybe a short dog. So look, this Notre Dame team, I've said it before, Gil, I think they are, this is the best team they've had, in my opinion, in 3+ decades, the depth that they have, but that doesn't say they're guaranteed a national title. I think the top 7 teams in the country are all very viable national title contending teams. You know, you look at the quarterback position for the Irish, if CJ Carr were to get hurt, you're going to a true freshman more than likely there. So that's a bit of a concern. You know, they've had a little bit of injuries on the offensive line here during camp. But, you know, it's hard for me right now, Gil, to say on August 21st, go take 6-1 on Notre Dame. There were some 10-1s early on in the offseason. But right now, it's hard for me to say, hey, go get 6-1 because, you know, so many things can happen. You can start getting dinged in your depth. So I do think this is a playoff team. I think this is a team that is more than capable of making a run to a title. But I also think there's a handful of other teams. But I think this team is loaded. I think they have arguably the best defense in college football. And, you know, their mantra this year is leave no doubt. So is that a situation where Marcus Freeman, Gil, since he got to Notre Dame as the head coach, he is the best covering coach in college football. So do we see them kind of exercise some demons, if you will, in some of these games with big spreads? We'll see. But week one, laying 21 at Lambeau is quite the number for them against Wisconsin.
All right, you got 20 seconds. Your favorite week zero bet is?
Under 49.5 would be the play for Hawaii Stanford. And then one more, I'll go under 9.5 wins for Penn State minus -140 at FanDuel. I know there's a lot of people talking about that schedule, and I understand it. Talent We'll see. So easy schedule, but I still think 9-3, 8-4 likely. So Penn State under 9.5 at $1.40 at FanDuel.
All right. Didn't know that the Stanford Hawaii one qualified as the best week zero, but Tim giving us the bonus season long right there at the end. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
See you.
Coming back with Bill Connolly on College Football Day.